Welcome back. And happy Monday. I'm Maggie Dawn, joined by Matt Rothschild today, host of the podcast Wisconsin Forward. You can find it on Spotify, Apple Pods, and of course at civicmedia.us. We've been discussing whether or not Governor Evers should run for a third time. We're closing out that discussion, but I wanted to give some love to all of the folks on our text line participating. Thank you all. Dan from Wausau said this: I'd vote for Mandela Barnes or Cavalier Johnson for governor, but neither can win the state governor's race since there is just too much racism. Kamala Harris, I believe, would have won the country if she were a white male. That is certainly a big challenge here in the state of Wisconsin. And if you don't believe what I'm saying, I simply point you to the Louis Butler Supreme Court race, where he was beat by know-nothing, do-nothing, corrupt conspiracy theorist extraordinaire. Oh, yeah, I'm going to tack on the word racist, Michael Gableman, a few years back. If this is in your faint, distant memory, go have yourself a good Google time. It's quite rich. Anthony from Mishgat says definitely Tony Evers should run again. Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids says this. This one made me chuckle. Thanks, Tyler. Let mild manner Governor Clark Kent run again, but this time around, he takes off the glasses and waves the cape and battles the Grim Reaper of the House. So Tyler from Wis Rapids, he is in a pro third term for Governor Evers. Terry from Cross Plains says, I'd like to see Governor Evers give it another go, but I'd like to have some competition as well. At this point, we don't know who the Republicans are bringing to the election. That was one of the problems with Biden, right? That you were saying, Matt, we need to see competition. We need to press our candidates to rise to the moment of election. I think this country, because of the two-party system, which our founders never intended, by the way, has created such a preference, advantage, bias, favoritism for incumbents that is part of the problem. That's part of the dissatisfaction that people are feeling. So with that, Matt, I know you and I both wanted to talk about the flooding that has been going on in Texas. It's horrifying. It is an incredible loss of life. The last death toll that I heard was at 95, with somewhere in the ballpark of 27 children and camp counselors dying. There are all sorts of camps along the banks of the river that experienced flash flooding. And I've heard some coverage on other radio stations across this state referring to it as unpreventable, a 100-year flood, nothing to be done here. And that's garbage. Absolute and total garbage. And one of the things that government is supposed to do is this kind of stuff. You cannot go buy a flash flood alarm system off the shelf at Home Depot. Okay? Doesn't exist. You cannot buy flood risk reduction at your local Ace Hardware store. These things are public goods. It's like I can't buy a single widget of clean air, right? I can't buy you can buy clean water, but you get my point here. The quantities of this stuff and the way that we consume it make it very difficult to say it costs this much for you and this much for you. And so part of the function of government is providing these things. This is the public health, welfare, and safety element of government. And I worked on research like this when I was in graduate school. I literally helped run an econometric analysis, fancy word. You don't need to know what it says because the name of the study we did is very explanatory. We ran a willingness to pay study for flood risk reduction in and around the Milwaukee, Menominee, and other really river floodplains in and around southeastern Wisconsin, because southeastern Wisconsin had repeatedly experienced these flash floods and people's homeowners insurance was maxed and the premiums were getting out of reach. So, Matt, I wanted us to check in here because the reporting that I have seen is that the regional office of the National Weather Service that was responsible for this area was fully staffed with frontline staff, but that there are vacancies, plural, in key managerial positions, including one managerial position that is specifically about warning coordination and getting the word out. And folks, if you're not familiar with this region of Texas, it's valleys, basically. And cell service, oh yeah, that other thing that government helps people get access to the internet, better cell service, it's very spotty in places. So Matt, as this tragedy has unfolded, I've been curious about your reactions, because this is one of those things that I point to and I say, that's something that we should be demanding, that every person should be demanding government should be able to do something about. Those are harms that we should be able to avoid.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this has been such a tragic story. I mean, my wife and I, early this afternoon, were watching Katie Tour on MSNBC. We love Katie Tour. And, you know, she was covering it. She had reporters there in Kerrville talking about, you know, people, family members who lost loved ones. And it's just, it's almost too brutal to watch. And so the human tragedy is just insufferable here. And my heart goes out to any family that lost somebody here. But you're absolutely right. I mean, it says in the preamble to the U.S. Constitution that one of the functions of government is to provide for the general welfare. And this is providing for the general welfare. I mean, here in Wisconsin, we have tornadoes. And so we have loudspeakers all over rural areas and urban areas that will blare a tornado warning so we all can hear it and so we all can get in our basements or get to the safest place we know. The tragedy here, there's a double tragedy. There's a tragedy at the local level and there's a tragedy at the national level. At the local level, Kerr County,
yes,
the representatives on the Kerr County Board had discussed whether they should put up loudspeakers and decided it wasn't worth the cost. Well, those people must be having nightmares today, because look at the cost, the human cost. Forget even about the economic cost right now, the human cost of this tragedy. And then at the national level, I mean, you mentioned the warning coordination meteorologist. I just want to read two paragraphs, one's from the Washington Post and one's from the New York Times. From the Washington Post, ahead of these floods, this is about Trump's cuts, Elon Musk's cuts, Doge's cuts. Ahead of these floods, the Weather Service office near San Antonio, which oversees warnings issued in Kerr County, had one key vacancy, as Maggie talked about, a warning coordination meteorologist who is responsible for working with emergency managers and the public to ensure people know what to do when a disaster strikes. The person who served in that role for decades was among hundreds of Weather Service employees who accepted early retirement offers and left the agency at the end of April. This is when, you know, Elon Musk was, you know, saying you guys are going to be fired unless you leave early.
Yeah, forced retirement. Yep.
Yeah. And then this from the New York Times. Crucial positions at the local offices of the National Weather Service were unfilled as severe rainfall inundated parts of Central Texas, prompting some experts to question whether staffing shortages made it harder for the forecasting agency to coordinate with local emergency managers as floodwaters rose. I mean, you know, this is the human cost of these brutal cuts. And to say nothing of the cuts about studying, you know, global warming, which may have played a part here, too. I mean, we're going to be flying blind here. He's cutting FEMA. He's cutting global warming research. They're cutting
NOAA,
folks from the National Weather Service.
NOAA, yeah. Which houses the National Weather Service. And here's what I want people to hear, because the terminology that gets used is harmful, as are some of the headlines that I've seen in tons of mainstream news. They're calling it the flood of the century. We have now emergency rescues occurring in Durham County, North Carolina. 80 people just rescued by boat in Durham County. There are other horrifying floods in North Carolina that will take lives. The flood in North Carolina is being referred to as a 1,000-year flood event of the Eno River. Again, we're talking about Kerr County in Texas Hill Country. They're calling this the flood of the century, a 100-year flood. Folks, I'm a statistician. It doesn't mean that this only happens once in 100 years. It means that based on historical models, which most good faith scientists now believe need massive updating because of the acceleration of climate change, it means that based on those past models, a 100-year flood has a 1%, it means in a given year, there's a 1% chance of a catastrophic flood of this type. What we're seeing now are 100-year floods with increasing frequency. So the term 100-year flood is bad. Get rid of it. What you should be asking is, when's the last time a fatal flash flood occurred in Kerr County? And oh yeah, 8 years ago, the same damn thing happened. That's what triggered this discussion by Kerr County elected officials about, should we install a siren or warning system, a gauge system, so you can actually have a gauge that will say, oh, the river levels are going up. Ooh, they're going up really fast. We need to let people know downriver to evacuate. These were needless and avoidable deaths. Children, and guess who died last time? 8 years ago. Kids. At what? Another sleepaway camp. Mm. This is the stuff that just absolutely boils my blood. And when you think about the intersection of universities that conduct the sort of studies that I was part of when I was where? At university studying econometrics. You talk about the need for scientists in government, objective people in government to help do this work. The people that are at gravest risk for these existential weather emergency events are folks in rural counties. Because what you have in bigger and urban counties is local governmental infrastructure to do some of the work that needs to be done in these places, with the gutting of these departments by DOGE and Donald Trump. Rural counties and rural kids are at greater risk. And I hate to put it this way, but it is not just a failure of government writ large. It's a failure of Republicans in government and the anti-tax brigade, that the objective in every legislative session is, no matter what the need, no matter what the risk, we just want lower taxes. So I ask you, each and every one of you, what's your family worth? Are you willing to pay more taxes to avoid these kinds of avoidable disasters? This conversation continues on the other side with you and Matt Rothschild, Nancy on the line, Kurt on the line. Your chance is next, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. I'm Maggie Dawn, and you are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.